The Truth Discovered, compiled by Brother Colin and Sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury in the UK. Chapter 20, My Son Returns, submitted by Brother Horace McPherson of Victoria, BC in Canada. I was blessed with parents who loved me with the same deep and sincere love they had for the living word. I ventured from one stage of life to another, dwelling at home where the truth was taught and lived. When I was of age and understanding, I seized hold of the heritage of the promises of the fathers of old. However, on leaving the waters of baptism, I failed to appreciate to the full what riches, pleasure and honour had been bestowed upon me. I had been adopted into the royal house of God to be called of him my son. Like the prodigal son, I was not content with this. For through the window of my world I saw just over beyond pastures which looked greener. The more I looked, the more I felt I could just go there for a while. It would be all right. It was a short trip and I would soon come back. Sad to say, I travelled long and far, and with each year that passed I began to lose those things that I had known so well when I walked the courts of my Heavenly Father's house. The word was no longer frontlet to my eyes. My sword of the Spirit had been traded a long time ago for the mighty dollar. With this in my hand, I bought the pleasures of life for a season. But they were not everlasting or fulfilling. Each day was spent in a crazy search for contentment, peace and assurance that all was well. Have I found it now at last with a new found relationship with this young, beautiful girl? The echo of God's warning so many years ago to his children was lost in the excitement of the moment. How often he had pleaded with them not to go after the Canaanitish woman that returned them from him. What concern must there have been amongst the angels in heaven as they saw this Son of God go from this relationship to be caught up in the evil practice of gambling and other vices that crowd the dark quarters of our cities. And with all this wandering and wasting of the heritage that had been given to me, there were moments in the stillness of the night, the loneliness of my room, that my thoughts would return to the house of my God, and I would remember again the care that he had shown to me in years gone by. How perplexed, how strife-ridden at times my heart was. Yet there was no place for me now. I could not return. I had even lost sight of the way I came. But how shallow was my understanding of the mighty one in heaven. I was to learn so soon that the door was always open. My father and his beloved son, who stood at his side, waited there to welcome him who was lost. God works in wonderful and strange ways. And circumstances divinely arranged, I am convinced, now happened to set my feet on that road to the house of my Heavenly Father. One day, nearly 39 years after leaving the truth, there was a knock at my apartment door, and on opening it I was confronted by a complete stranger who introduced himself by saying he knew one of my friends. With this I let him in and we spent some time conversing, during which he disclosed himself as a union official and a man to be very careful of. At one point he followed me into the bedroom, putting a knife to my throat and forcing me to lie down. He then bound me hand and foot, gagging my mouth so I could not alarm my neighbours. And having done this, he set out to burgle my apartment. His search seemed to continue for eternity. He never did find what he was looking for, and on leaving he told me he had been a former acquaintance. Fear paralysed me. What of tomorrow? Would there be similar visits? What a mess I had made of my life. What could I do? Where could I go? Friends advised me to leave town and change my identity. But wherever I went, there would always be that fear now of the shadows, the footsteps, and the knock on the door that could bring terror again to my ear. How puny is man to help himself. I kept my blinds drawn at all times, never opening the door unless it was a familiar voice. I changed my telephone number and carried a gun by my side at all times. Having come to the eating of the swine's meat, I thought again of the house that I had left, and I did the only sensible thing I could do. I fell on my knees and I prayed to the Almighty for his hand to reach out and help me. Forgive me, the sinner that I am. Permit me a place again in your house, even if it is only of the humblest of seats at your table. Having done this, I waited upon him, and while I waited, I took his word again in hand and allowed the pages to fall open before me. They opened to Psalm 27, and there I listened to my Father. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There was the light. I saw the door and the household of God rejoicing over the Son who was lost, but now was returning. The strength from knowing God allowed me to lift the covers from my window, pull back the locks on my door and cast aside the gun. Walking out into the brightness of the sun, I rejoiced and gave thanks before all men that I was again in the safety, comfort and peace of the house of God. Fear never fills my heart any more, only the brotherly fear that I have for others, especially those whose adoption is new, lest they may also strike out for distant lands and ambitions. My appeal in telling this story is that your sights will always be towards the one who sits at the head of the table. And what comfort he offers now in his words, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." This is a true story told by Brother Jerry Tomlinson of California, and reported by Brother Horace McPherson, Victoria, Canada.